This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today is my buddy, Jared Sandler. He is a baseball broadcaster and the founder of Sandlot's Children's Charity, providing financial assistance for kids with physical and intellectual disabilities. They're swinging for a cause is bigger and better than ever. Jared, great having you on again. How you doing, man?
Hey, thanks so much, CA. It's great talking to you, and I appreciate you putting such a spotlight, not just on Sandlot, but on all the amazing organizations here in the Metroplex.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all about engaging with people, especially this time of the year, but more importantly, year-round, to remind people, you know, there's a reason we call this thing a community, and there's a reason why there should be more empathy for a lot of people, because not everybody has the same things as everyone else. And I love what you're doing for kids, and you've been doing it for how long now with the Sandlot?
Yeah, this is going to be our eighth annual event. It's kind of crazy. I was talking to someone the other day, and they're like, what, three, four? And I mean, you always say it, time flies, right? And, you know, it's a blessing that we've been able to do it for 8 years and that we continue to grow and hopefully continue to impact more and more people.
Before we go into the history of what you've been doing and why, what was the reason you started the charity, let's talk about the upcoming event, the Swinging for a Cause, which is going to be, again, at Globe Life Field. Let's talk about different things that are going to be the festivities, and this is the second year in a row now, and the kind of things that people can look forward to in the day of the event, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, so the Rangers didn't cooperate this year by failing to win the World Series, because that was really cool. The first year we do it at Globe Life Field, they win the World Series.
And the trophy was right there. Prior. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm obviously kidding about the lack of cooperation from the Rangers. The Rangers have been great. It's been great to work with them and the people at Rev who oversee the event side of things. And, we're really grateful to be back at Globe Life Field for a second year. And it's cool because, you know, we got feedback after doing the event at Topgolf for the first 6 years. We had such a great time there, but we felt like, you know, very thankfully that we had outgrown that venue and we were looking for something different. And so the event at Globe Life Field is, I mean, the best way I can describe it in short is it's a field day. And it's, you know, I used to, last year in advance of the first, time we did it, I described it as an adult field day, but I'm not saying that this year, because what we learned was that the way the event flowed last year and just the way it all played out, the kids loved it too. You know, Topgolf was really more geared towards the adults or, you know, maybe a kid that had swung a golf club every once in a while. It wasn't necessarily great for the 3-, 4-, 5-year-old kid, but I'll start with that. You know, this is an event that, you know, you can bring the whole family to, because there's stuff going on for the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. We'll have a bounce house, face painting, and different activities that are fun for them. And then, you know, for the older kids, the adults, you can do things like, you know, just play catch in the outfield. You got to play catch on a major league baseball field. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as that. We got a wiffle ball home run derby. CA, you're going to love this, because I think you're going to be stationed here and emceeing the festivities. Our featured new event this year is our 3-point contest. You know, one of the things we wanted to do was be imaginative about having this massive space in the outfield what are things we can do that you can't necessarily just do when you go to the fair, right?
Right.
You know, hey, we could do a free throw thing, sure, but you do that at the fair. But what we're going to do this year is have, I think, 5 racks set up around a sport court 3-point line. You're going to have 1 minute to, you know, basically engage in a 3-point contest, just like, you know, what you see for All-Star mm-hmm. Weekend in the NBA. The cool thing, though, CA, the twist is that after you complete the racks, it's going to be 3 balls per rack, 5 racks. So it's going to be a little bit scaled down. But remember, you know, this is a charity that supports people with disabilities. And one of the organizations that we've sponsored and supported, the Junior Mavs. And, you know, that's the wheelchair mm-hmm. wing of, you know, the Mavericks organization. They sponsor the wheelchair
sure.
basketball program.
Right.
And so when you complete the 5th rack, you'll go to the free throw line and you will sit in a wheelchair. And for the remaining time, you can try and make as many free throws while sitting in a wheelchair to understand what that experience is like. So
I love it.
You know, we're going to have all sorts of activities. You can go to the bullpen and see how hard you throw. You can go to the batting cage and take some swings there. There's going to be stuff for football, soccer. It's, you know, we did a penalty shootout last year. This year, it's just going to be a hardest kick. You know, so there's going to be a goal.
Nice.
And you're going to see how hard you can kick it. And then things like, you know, pickleball and life-size Connect 4. And I think life-size Jenga. And then there's obviously the food and drink aspect of it. We'll have celebrities there as well. Elvis Andrews will be our Sandlot Community Award winner this year. So he'll be there. We'll also be awarding a young athlete in the disability community for, I can't spoil it by saying who, but his or her achievement and spirit and just the way they represent themselves. So really fun event, and we're really looking forward to it.
Very, very cool. And again, you mentioned this is like a field day. And what's even more impressive, just to paint some more pictures of this thing, last year I thought it was so amazing because, again, you said this is not like a Top Golf where, you know, guys are swinging clubs or yellow families up there, or whatever, and it's kind of more, it's completely different. This is on the field. Let me paint the picture even better. There's a lot of charitable events. Nonprofits have galas all the time or they have some event, but none of them have like a gala slash field day all in one in a unique environment like Globe Life Field, home of the 2023 Major League Baseball World Series champions. Can't take that away from them, even though not the defending anymore. But you've got like tables set up, like picnic tables and tables set up like on the infield. And then you've got like down the baselines, you got, like I said, the food, the drinks, everything you would like that would be in a gala. And again, you've got the big screens up above. But a lot of people, again, even if you're not like a huge just baseball fan, You've probably never been on the field of Globe Life Field. And it's just so cool to see people out there walking around and, like you said, doing all the different things in the outfield, having meeting together with different people at the tables and walking around. And it's so engaging. It's so unique and it's different. And again, it's in December, but the weather is not even an issue.
Not an issue. And it's Sunday, December 8th, and the Cowboys don't play.
Correct.
On that Sunday. So you don't have to worry about that. And you're right, CA, this is not like a, hey, come to Globe Life Field and get a walk on the field for 5 minutes, but now we're going to push you off to some ballroom or some,
yeah.
Like you are on the field. If you want to, if you want to play catch for 3 hours and just do the simple things, you can do that. If you don't want to, you know, if you're not like trying to pull a hamstring by being the best athlete in the world, you can just hang out and socialize and meet some great, you know, celebrity athletes and broadcasters from the area and eat and drink. And so we try to create an event that is appropriate for everyone, right?
Yeah.
You know, based on what their interests are and, you know, all the while highlighting, you know, the amazing community of people with disabilities. And and there are going to be several people from the various organizations we support who are there stationed at some of the events and there to answer questions and explain, you know, what, you know, the event might be like for them. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's the other thing. We want to make sure that there's the education piece and we want people to know who they're supporting and what they're supporting. And I think that's a really important part of, you know, what this event is going to be able to showcase.
And that's why I have you on the show again, because I love exactly what the Sandlot Children's Charity is all about. But you did mention that there are professional athletes, former athletes, quote-unquote celebrities that are going to be walking around and just enjoying themselves as well with their families. I know last year, it was such a fun event, and it was so casual. And again, the Rangers were right off the World Series. Can you give me some feedback on what some of the players were saying? Because, you know, when you ask them to do things, they get asked all the time by so many different groups. And some of them, not even just groups, they're just like, oh, we need you to sign autographs and maybe you can make some money over here. But they get asked for so many different things. They're pulled in so many directions. When I saw the guys that I ran into, they were just so relaxed. Can you talk to me about the feedback you got since you were the one that was asking, can you spare some of your time?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'll tell you, CA, and you know this, you've been around a lot of the athletes here in the community. We've been really lucky to have some great people who are wearing the uniforms who are willing to go out and support. And I always, you know, like to share this. We're not paying these guys to be there, right? These are guys who are out there to support a good cause, to be a part of the community, like you talked about. And I think it's important to share that because I think it's a tremendous reflection on them for being willing to do that. But
yeah, they're not doing an appearance fee. There's no appearance fee.
Exactly. You know, I think last year, to be honest with you, for the baseball players, the Rangers folks who were there, I think it was such an incredible experience for them to just World Series champions in the community and to have the opportunity to share that with fans who, you know, had for so long been waiting for that. And so I think that, you know, they enjoyed it. I know, you know, Marcus Semien was at the event last year and John Gray and talking to them. I mean, they loved the fact that they got to share in the experience with the fans. And I think that's really neat. I think the understanding of what it means to the fans was really cool to witness the players demonstrate that, right? Because, hey, I think all players appreciate fans, but at the end of the day, you know, they're out there and they're competing their tails off for themselves and their families. But I think when you get a team that really understands what they mean to the community, it creates a special relationship. And I think that the players last year really got a sense of that as the season unfolded. And certainly once they were able to seal the deal on November 1st, 2023, that'll always be a special day, the day the Rangers won game 5 in Arizona.
Unique in history, and they know that they are the first ones to win a championship for the Texas Rangers organization. And again, that was a chance for them to reflect and enjoy and mingle and mix in with a lot of Ranger fans, but more important, for an excellent cause. And I think what everybody took out about it was, like, they weren't being mobbed. They weren't being harassed. They didn't have to have security all around them. It was like, this is a very relaxed environment, but also it's where they play and work. And so it was just so novel. And Jared, I have to give you big credit for coming. Was it your idea to come up with that? I want to know about the transition from Top Golf, because Top Golf did a great job, but this took it to another level. Whose idea was this last year? And ironically, you know, the Rangers cooperated and won a World Series for you.
Yeah, I can't take credit for it. I mean, we knew after our last year at Top Golf that we were maybe looking to do something different. And we loved our time at Topgolf. They were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We had kind of outgrown it, but also just to do something different. And I was sitting having breakfast with two of our board members, a gentleman named Taylor Russ and another gentleman named Mike Hoffman. And it was actually their idea. And the Rangers thing, you know, my tie to the Rangers, I guess, didn't hurt, but I actually kind of wanted to avoid that. But can't do AT&T Stadium during December. You certainly can't plan on doing American Airlines Center during December.
No.
And so as much as I kind of wanted to separate from, you know, the Rangers, it didn't make sense to do it elsewhere. And the Rangers and Rev have been such gracious partners, and we've really loved working with them. The only reason I wanted to separate was just because I didn't want to put anyone in a position where they're like, oh, we've got to do this because Jared works for... You know, I wanted to kind of keep those two things separate. I didn't want to impose upon anyone, but it's been a tremendous experience. But yeah, I can't take any credit for the venue switch. We knew we needed something different. Those two gentlemen, Mike and Taylor, were responsible for coming up with the idea.
So you mentioned the board of directors and those guys were on the board of directors. I always say this to all the different nonprofits, CEOs or the founders that I talk to. It's no different than starting a small business. It takes a lot of courage to start up a nonprofit, even if your heart is in it, because there's so many twists and turns and pains involved. And you seem to have a nice supporting group. It seems like that the people who are involved with you are above and beyond. Can you give them a shout out a little bit, or can you explain how you were able to get the group around you, that part? And then we'll go back into how you came up with the idea of the Sandlot Charities for Children.
You're right. Well, see, I'll tell you, can't possibly name every single person right. who has got us here, because that list includes this community, right? It includes someone who does something as minor as tell someone else about the event or place a bid on our auction, which is live. If you go to 105throughthefan.com/sandlot, you can find a link to our auction, which will be live until December 8th at 7:30. It could be someone who came to an event as a guest of someone else, and maybe they didn't even spend a single dollar, but they just were there and supported. And then people like yourself and our teammates of the Fan who have done such an amazing job and generous job in supporting and spreading the word. But our board, you're right. Our board is such a vital part of what we do. First of all, my wife, Emily, who, you know, is my partner in crime with this. I couldn't do this without her. And then Jamie Gerson, sorry, I got to use her married name. Mm-hmm. Maddie Jamello, Benjamin Goodman, JB Hayes, Jay Heidbrink, Mike Hoffman, Taylor Russ, Greg Lyons, Nick McKnight, Tyler Malone, Mark Ramirez, Jason Sandler, my brother Gavin Spittle, and Zach Tobolowski make up our board. Our event planners, Laura Ferris, Alexis Summers, Paige Scott. And then we have an ambassador program that basically is an extension of the charity. And our friend Ari Temkin helps oversee that. He does such tremendous work there. And we've got an ambassador group of about 15 or so who are some of our boots on the ground for events and stuff. And I'm so grateful. See, you've known me a long time. You are very complimentary of me, but what you always leave out is I am not the brightest person in the world. And I've been
underestimating yourself.
I've been very fortunate to be surrounded by some awesome people who've helped make this thing go. And I'm so grateful for them. And I'm so grateful that, you know, this little idea that, you know, I didn't know what it would turn into has become something that is, you know, really able to impact people. And that's the goal. And I couldn't do it without, you know, the board, our team, and then just the community. The community has been amazing, and I'm so grateful for them.
Well, let's talk about that little idea that you came up with. And how old were you? And let's tell the story again, because I think it shows where your heart is. And, you know, that's something that a lot of people need to see, because sometimes they also have in their heart an idea. And everyone should be encouraged to, if you feel on something, like if you feel it in your heart, there's ways to act upon it and help change lives. So let's tell that little story.
Yeah. See, I think it starts with just when I really was falling in love with sports. And I'm not talking about when I was a sports nut at 3 years old, which I was, right? I wasn't watching cartoons. I was watching ESPN. But I think when I truly was falling in love with sports, I was falling in love with it while also understanding that sports and athletes and organizations have the ability to play such a tremendous role in people's lives and can impact people, right? And so that's always been something I've had in my head. And then you start seeing the athletes with their platforms take advantage of that. And, you know, at that time, at my age, I thought I was going to be like the next Deion Sanders and play multiple professional sports. Well, all right, I get older, I realize that's not my future. But, you know, I took note of some broadcasters in the area who use their platform to make a difference. And so that became a more realistic comparison, because that was at that point when I was in high school, I was thinking, all right, well, maybe I'll give this broadcasting thing a try. Mm-hmm. And it just always stuck with me the way that whether you're a broadcaster, an athlete, And you don't have to be one of those two things, but there's just a platform you have, a reach that you have built into your job that maybe you wouldn't otherwise have. And I just wanted to take advantage of that. And then as far as, you know, why supporting people with disabilities, I think a lot of people assume, you know, there's a family tie, and there's not. I just, from a very young age, have always been drawn to, you know, that amazing community of people and their positivity and their resilience and strength and their ability to, you know, pave their own way. And I think I've been so inspired, CA, by people trying to tell these individuals what they are and are not capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And fighting that.
Mm-hmm.
I
fighting the stereotype.
There are too many people who look at individuals with disabilities and put a ceiling on them, tell them what they can or can't do, or direct them a certain way because it's what they think that they are capable of doing, and not giving them the same opportunities that that you and I had growing up or have in terms of, you know, that sort of freedom of choice. And so I want to fight for these people. I want to, you know, put them in positions to be impacted by sports the same way that I was, and have the ability to choose whether that's something they want, right? We're not saying you have to, but what we learned early on was that there was a tremendous need in terms of the health and wellness side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very cost prohibitive venture to get kids or people with disabilities involved in athletics or active programming for a number of reasons. And we want to bridge that gap. We want to provide that financial assistance so that finance isn't an issue, so that if these kids want to get involved in an activity or sport, they're able to do that. And they don't have to have mom or dad tell them, sorry, we can't afford it. And it addresses the health and wellness by getting involved. And it also allows them to enjoy the same things that I know I benefited from growing up playing sports. First of all, it's fun, right?
Yes.
You have a blast, but also you make friends and you learn how to deal with certain situations.
Adversity.
And you deal with success and failure. Exactly. And all that stuff is important in helping them grow. And that's what we want to try and help these kids and the organizations who support them. That's what we want them to be able to accomplish. And we want to help them by providing some financial assistance.
So at that young age, what was your first step to say, okay, I want to help some kids and actually have a foundation? Because I'm sure you're thinking there's a way to do this.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it started CA with just volunteering, right? And then I moved back to Dallas in 2014 to take the job that I currently have, you know, at the Fan with the Rangers, and waited a couple years to kind of get my footing. And then I was like, all right, I want to try and do something. And I know someone, you know, very well, and a close friend of mine, Carla Rosenberg, was the first person I spoke to.
She's the greatest.
Yep. And I wouldn't be here without Carla talking about, you know, the charity, and she helped grow this thing. And that's where it started. I'm sure that I credit to my upbringing and the people who had such an influence on me and ingraining in me that, you know, stuff like this is important. You have the opportunity to give back, then you give back. And then, you know, I go back to my wife because, you know, we started that, we weren't married at the time, but we were, I think, engaged or about to be engaged. And, you know, she's been nothing but supportive and has played such a big role in the development of the charity and the growth of the charity too. And, you know, I think that her encouragement, her support has gone a tremendously long way. And my inspiration to do this. And the other thing I think about, CA, is when I'm fortunate enough to be a dad, you know, broadcasting for the Rangers and broadcasting on the Fan is great. I love that. And I hope my kids can enjoy that and share in that passion of mine. But I want to be able to point to something and tell them, hey, this is what life is about.
Exactly.
It's about giving back. And if I can set an example for them or my nephews and nieces or anyone, then that's cherry on top. And you know, hopefully, you know, if it can lead to one more person wanting to give back to a cause, it doesn't have to be, you know, the cause that Sandlot supports, but there's so many amazing causes out there. And if you know, if we can get more people to get involved in the community, then that's awesome. You know, I feel like then, you know, we've accomplished something.
So you're thinking big picture, and that's really what it's all about. I mean, you want to be able to transfer your, not just your ambition, but your humanity, your empathy to your family and your kids. And as they always say, when you pass away, your tombstone is not going to have your business exploits on it, you know?
Right. I know, exactly. And, you know, we're in the process. CA, one of the things that is going to happen on December 8th, and I can't share it right now because we're going to release it on December 8th, but we're going to share some news of a project that we are launching that is going to be an absolute dream in terms of accomplishing what we want to accomplish and being able to have an impact beyond just Dallas, beyond just DFW, and maybe if we do this right, beyond just the state of Texas. And it's going to be a project that has such an impact on the community of folks with disabilities, but also it's a project that's going to be able to address a lot of different causes. And we're really, really looking forward to sharing that news at the event on December 8th.
Ah, the major announcement. I love it. So that's going to happen on the 8th, right there during the festivities, correct?
Yep, we will have an announcement and we will share with everyone what exactly is next for Sandlot.
With that being said, and by the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Jarrett Sandler, baseball broadcaster extraordinaire, but more importantly, the founder of Sandlot Children's Charities. And I think you need to tell this part because a lot of people, you know, want to have a foundation or a nonprofit or they work at a nonprofit. There's always twists and turns. There had to be a moment that you thought, oh no, this is not going to work, or we're going to have to stop it, or we might have to regroup. What was that moment? Because I want people to know that everything was just not roses, that everybody goes through adversity, even a nonprofit, even when you have good intentions, sometimes there's obstacles that you might think you can't overcome, and then you do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Probably, CA, I think the pandemic,
yeah,
definitely, you know, just because you never know how that's going to impact your ability to
help.
And for us, right, you know, we're not a charity that's backed by $1 billion.
Right.
So we just didn't know how the pandemic was going to impact things. And then that big picture, I think that's, you know, that is one that, you know, people obviously familiar with the pandemic and the impact of it. I think just in general, early on as a new charity, we don't have any full-time staff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that the first couple of years are going to determine whether you sink or swim, but there were a lot of long nights early on, just trying to get our footing and try to represent ourselves publicly in a way that will make people take us seriously, right? You know, we don't have commercials, you know, when you're watching an NFL game that promote the Sandlot. We don't have an office building with advertising mm-hmm. that people are familiar with. We don't have 50 years worth of track record. So, you know, we got to prove to people that we are legitimate. We got to prove to people that this isn't just some dog and pony show for social media. And so I think that that's a fight that we still fight. But early on, I think we had some tougher battles just to get over some humps doing things for the first time. I think, and then, you know, I'm not making light of this at all, but in terms of like event planning, our last year at Topgolf, we had a concert and we were supposed to have Coolio.
Oh yeah.
I'm so fired up.
Oh yeah. You got to tell the story. Take your time.
Well, Gangsta's Paradise was my first ever like favorite song. Right. And mm-hmm. I was so fired up, and we had just had a board meeting that day. And we were talking about all the things we were going to, you know, ask from the marketing team, because Coolio's marketing team was great. And like, how can we help? And, you know, do we need Coolio to do interviews and this and that? And so we're just putting together an appropriate list of things that, you know, we thought would be helpful. And that night the Rangers were playing, and I got a text from someone telling me that Coolio had died. And,
yeah,
you know, I go on TMZ or whatever site,
mm-hmm.
there's conflicting reports. And then you learn that, no, like he did, he passed away. And so we were like, 6 weeks away from our event, maybe 8 weeks. And putting on a concert is no small task. We learned that back in 2022, and we had to figure out what to do. We were so grateful. Bowling for Soup performed. They were awesome, and they were so, so fun to work with. And Jarrett Reddick, who's the lead singer of Bowling for Soup, was amazing. And I'm so grateful for them. But I mean, think about it. We're trying to put on our very first concert. We're trying to.
And you're a nonprofit. Show,
we're legit, right? We didn't want it to be a bad demonstration, and now all of a sudden our headline act is he passes away, and I just want to make this very clear. While that was their head, I mean, obviously, what was the priority there was Julio's family and friends, and you know, they don't give a you know what about the Sandlot, but and so I don't want to sound disrespectful in that regard, but you know, we had to figure out how to move forward. And that's, there are all sorts of twists and turns like that, but that was definitely one that I think I'll remember for a long time.
Yeah. And it also shows you that anything can happen. And also anything is possible. You just got to fight through the adversity and adjust the course just a little bit. So let's bring you this fast forward again. Sunday, December the 8th, that's the second time you're going to be in Globe Life Field. Set the stage again. Are there any partners, any other people you want to make sure they need to know about this event, get their tickets or whatever they need to do? Go ahead and share on the website.
Yeah, so no, for sure. Our presenting sponsor, Longhorn Investments, we're so grateful for them. And we've got a ton of great community partners, including 105.3 The Fan and all the work that they do as our media partner. So tickets are still available. There are no more tables, but if you remember, for those who went to our Topgolf event, if you didn't get a bay, you kind of were out of place, because you can't play golf without a bay. That's not the case here. Just because you didn't get a table doesn't really mean that you don't have a place. There are tables for people. It's just that you don't have a reserved table. So you can buy individual tickets. It gets you everything that a table would get you. The only thing that you don't get, our sponsors have VIP access to a sponsor VIP bar.
Sure.
But there are multiple bars for those who don't have the VIP access. Tickets are available. You go to thesandlot.org and then /events. It's right there. You can go to @JarrettSandler on Twitter, and I've been tweeting out the link. So tickets are still available. There's really not like a limit.
Jared, it's been a pleasure. Again, I'll see you out there. Looking forward to a bigger and better swinging for a cause, the Sandlot Children's Charities. Thank you, Jared.
Hey, thanks, CA. Appreciate you having me.
And joining us right now is Rodney Baker. He's the executive director of Hot Rod Connect. Rodney has connected charitable organizations with professional athletes, corporate partners, and community groups with amazing success. Rodney, thanks for stopping down and joining us. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing just fine. And like I said, I got to have you on the show because your fingerprints are on so many different events that have happened in the Dallas-Fort Worth area over the last few years, and people have no idea that you're one of the people who are involved. I guess they call it how they say you got a network nowadays? I want to say you're one of the best networkers in North Texas. So tell me, what was the last thing you just did?
Well, the last thing I just did and helped put together was the Dallas Morning News 95th Annual Lens Award.
Yes.
It was presented to my client of seven and a half years now, Mr. Roland Parrish, who owns 25 McDonald's in Dallas and is the founder and CEO of the Parrish Charitable Foundation. And that award is the most prestigious award given to someone in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, given by the Dallas Morning News.
The city of Dallas also did something special for him too when they named a park after him, and you had some behind the scenes doing with that as well, helping make sure that thing happened properly.
Oh yes, sir. The park is being named after him, called the Roland G. Parrish Park. And it was a call about 5 years ago. I was on the phone with City Councilwoman Carolyn King Gornal, former Deputy Mayor Pro Tem, and Mayor Pro Tem Carolyn King Gornal. And she was like, Rodney, I'm looking to try to do a naming rights for a park in the Cadillac Heights area, and they're looking for, you know, a major corporation, a major company to name it after. And I said, why do that when, you know, we can name the park after Mr. Roland Parrish? And she said, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I never thought about that. And next thing you know, we had a meeting off the bone.
Mm-hmm.
Barbecue with the owners are good friends of Mr. Parrish. And we had that first meeting. And it went from 2019. Then COVID hit. And then it kind of went off the table. And then came back. TC Broadnecks, former city manager of Dallas, he helped make it happen as well. Park board with Harrison Blair and other people at the park board. And then it got approved and voted on. And then Mr. Parrish has donated $1 million to the park.
Can you talk some more about that? Because you, like you said, there was a project that was, it took a little time because COVID came along, but it never was off the radar.
Yeah, you know, one thing that in the negotiation and in the prior initial meetings, one thing Mr. Parrish really, really wanted was to make sure there was walking trails for the seniors. And then we wanted to put in a track. And so they was like, well, why do you want to do a track? I said, well, Mr. Parrish's first love is track. He ran track at Purdue. And so people like to get on the track and just walk. Some people like to run. So you have the football field that's interchangeable between the football and the soccer field. And then you have the track. And then you have all of the pavilions. You got the basketball courts. So everything's very, 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 very nice for the community.
And this park is like evolving, right? It's like it's always, once you have an idea and lots of people want to partner with you on these things. Can you talk about that part happening?
Yeah, as the park is being built, the construction is going to start around February for phase one, which is about an $8 million project. And then phase two, which just got approved through the 2024 bond, is about a $10.1 million project. And then we're looking to also put a facility on the park, kind of like a Methodist or Parkland or UT Southwestern or Baylor Scott & White, like a wellness center on the park as well.
I mean, these are fantastic ideas. And again, this is where you're impacting a community. And you've been doing this for such a long time. Not like long time, but it's like at least, how many years? 7, 8 years? When did you start Hot Rod Connects? Because I'm telling you.
I started Hot Rod Connects July 2015.
9 years.
Officially on paper. Yeah, 9 years. I just celebrated 9 years in business. But it was in my brain and my head since 2011.
Well, that's fantastic. You got to tell a story how this came to fruition, because sometimes, you know, people have an idea and, you know, either something happens and they wind up not doing it, or, you know, it just never happens. But you've shown some, you know, wherewithal where you don't give up. Sometimes there's challenges along the way. And that's what makes people who may be listening to this show say, you know what, I've got an idea too, and I just need to believe in it more, or connect with other people, or network, as they put it, you know, find the right people to make the dream come true. And a lot of it is about giving back and nonprofits and community events. And I'm saying this because, like you said, you came up with this idea. Let's explain how you came up with the idea, put it to paper, and then make it happen.
You know, it's crazy, Chris, man. I was just talking to somebody yesterday about this, and it was like, you know, how did I meet so many different people? And I said, you know, the number one thing, number one is that if you're not exposed to different things and certain things, if you don't get out, if you don't meet and network with different people, when you come across somebody, you're not going to know who that person is, because you haven't been in these rooms with people to know who are the movers and shakers. So, you know, I credit a lot to, you know, people that was in my life, And when I worked at Texas A&M University Commerce, now it's called East Texas A&M, the president at that time, you know, God rest his soul, he passed away, Dr. Dan Jones, the president at that time, he would take me to every luncheon, every forum, every gala, every breakfast. So I was like one of the, I was an admissions recruiter. Mm-hmm. So I was a recruiter on the table, at the table, at these big galas.
And
big
you were
banquets,
soaking it all in.
Lunches.
Yeah, just soaking it all in.
Yeah. And I was a young guy, 22, 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I would work the room. I would go to every table. I would go to Southwest Airlines table, AT&T table, Verizon, Comerica Bank, Wells Fargo. It didn't matter. I wasn't afraid. Texas Instruments. So then I'll never forget, we was at the UNCF, United Negro College Fund, the governor's luncheon. And now I've been a part of the UNCF Young Professionals Group for the last 10 years. But we was at the governor's luncheon around 2012. There was a lady named Adrienne Banker, who was the MC. She was on CBS 11 News.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what, I'm going to meet her. And then I went and I met her that day. And then we built a great relationship. Now she's on News Nation in Chicago. She's a huge news anchor. She's been a client of mine, oh man, since 2015, because I do booking for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then also at that UNCF governor's luncheon, I met Angela Ross, who's now who's a vice president for National External Affairs for AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got her card, every time I would just email her different things that I was doing. So every time she saw me, she would say, spam, spam. She would call me spam. But over the years, we built a great relationship. And then years later, Mr. Parrish become my client. We do the Parrish Battle of the Bands, and AT&T was the title sponsor. So people say, well, how did you get connected to AT&T? It goes years back to when I was working at the university. So I was doing that. I worked at the university from 2008 to 2015. And then after that, I end up creating my company called Hot Rod Connects, which was established in 2015. But in 2011, Memorial Day weekend, I said, man, you know what? I want to have my own marketing agency for NFL, NBA athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And then around December of 2011, I sent a tweet to a friend of mine, Michael Crabtree.
And that's when I first met you.
He was playing for the 49ers.
Right. Wide receiver from Carter High School, Texas Tech. Yep. Everybody loves Crab.
Yeah, when I was a senior, Carter, he was a freshman, so that's how we knew each other. And I just tweeted him, told him what I wanted to do, and he came in town Christmas night, 2011. I'll never forget standing outside in the cold till he pulled up. But he came, and he told me, hey, man, I'm going to help you out. And next thing you know, I started, flying different places with him, doing things with him. And then 2014, I started running his foundation, and I was executive director of his foundation from 2014 to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and you met when we did the Crab 5 Gala in 2015.
Yes,
and
that was
from
a who's
that,
who.
And me running Crabtree Camps, I met Von Miller, two-time Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I was going to go with you, because you've been doing stuff with Von. A lot of athletes have foundations, but they don't know what to do with them. You connected with Von Miller, like you said, Super Bowl MVP, now with the Buffalo Bills, from DeSoto, DeSoto's own. And you guys put together Von Miller Day for DeSoto, right?
Oh, yes, sir. We're coming up on the 8th annual Von Miller Day, which will be April 26, 2025. And again, people will say, well, how did you meet Von? How did you connect with Von? And I'm like, man, Crabtree, we was in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
in the penthouse, and Crab said, hey, Von, you should have Rodney run your day. And Von got my number, but he didn't call me then, but he called me a year later. And he said, hey, man, I need your help. And he was calling my phone. And I told my wife, I said, this is Von Miller calling me. He said, well, baby, answer the phone. So I answered the phone. And he said, hey, man, I need your help to help me with my day. And I said, I'm in. We didn't talk about any money, anything. He said, I'm going to put you on the call with a text from my mom, my dad, and my brother. So we did that, and every time they said, who can do this? I said, I got it. They said, who can do this? I said, I got it. So I wanted to show them that, I could be an asset, and then that was, 2017. Now, here and now, we're coming 8 years later, we're still doing it.
You know what? I'm going to say something again, Rodney. We're talking with Rodney Baker with Hot Rod Connects, and again, this guy, you are absolutely amazing, and I think one of the keys to your success is you don't make promises you can't keep. You actually are good for your word. Whatever you say, you do. And a lot of people can't do that. They're like, they can hope for, But you say, here's what realistically can be done. And then you adjust on the fly if things come up along the way. But your word is your bond. And I think your actions matching your words has been a key to your success. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, no, you're totally right. And
that's your reputation.
That's your reputation, man. You know, if somebody, you know, gives you an opportunity, you know, and I always tell Mr. Parrish, I tell anybody that I've worked with, I'm just grateful and I'm thankful for the opportunity, because people don't have to give you an opportunity, but when they do, man, you got to show up and you got to show out, and you got to show your value and show that you're an asset or can be an asset.
Can you talk about Von Miller Day and what it does for the city of DeSoto? Because it's a huge event and so many people are involved, and he helps. Man, Von Miller gives back. And like I said, you're part of the organization, you're part of the crew that connects the people who want to partner with, the people who want to volunteer, and the people who also receive the benefits of Von Miller's gratitude.
Yeah, it's a free, festive, fun family day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they'll email or they'll call or text or they'll, you know, send messages on Instagram or Facebook. Is Vaughn really going to be there? And I'm saying one thing about Vaughn, if the event started at 12, he's going to be there by 12:30, 12:45. I'm telling you this, Chris, he signs every autograph. He walks down. There's an autograph line we have, and people fly in from L.A.
Oh, yeah.
When he played with the Rams,
mm-hmm.
from Denver when he played with Denver Broncos, when he played with Buffalo Bills, when he played at College Station. People come in from A&M, College Station.
Yep.
There's an autograph line, long, over 1,000 people, and he walks the entire line, signs every autograph. He takes pictures with everybody. And then we have a registration process where we partner with Texas Rangers Foundation with Karen Morris and Justin and Ray and those guys over there.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the Rangers. They donate 1,000 tickets every year that we give out at Von Miller Day. The Dallas Mavericks, they give us stuff that we give out at Von mm-hmm. Miller Day. AT&T Stadium gives us the tours, or the families sure. can go tour AT&T Stadium. MCM, we partner with them on different stuff as well. And then what we do, we have food stations. So In-N-Out Burger, Raising Cane's, Williams Chicken. We have the company that does the crawfish, Odom's Barbecue, Smokey John's Barbecue.
Yeah.
Breakfast Brothers,
right.
Snappy's Catfish, Pizza Patron, you know, all these different companies. 7-Eleven has worked mm-hmm. with us 7 years. So all these companies, Essential Water, donate food. And so when I say that the donation of the food, everybody that comes to the event, if it's 2,000, if it's 3,000 people, everybody's going to have an option of two food stations where they'll be able to, you know, to eat. And we partnered with K104.
Mm-hmm.
I believe every year we partner with K104 on it as well. So we've had Bebe out.
Yep.
We have Lady J's come out. We've had the field day.
Yep.
We have the different field activities.
And all of Vaughn's fans be showing up, like Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott, Dak.
Yep, Dak.
Dez Bryant, you know, all
right.
the guys he played with.
Even like Earl Spence Jr.
Oh, yeah, Earl Spence, all the guys, you know, Yellow Beezy, you know, all these guys, they come out. So, you know, he brings the stardom in Dallas to this event.
Mm-hmm.
And the city of DeSoto partners with us, with the Parks and Rec Department, and from the city of side. So Chris Glover from the Parks and Rec Department, and from the city side, Mayor Proctor and our superintendent, Dr. Rogers, and Coach Mathis over at DeSoto. Shout out to them. They always partner with us as well. So it's a great day for the city of DeSoto and from the communications department that people can come out and celebrate their own, because he's from DeSoto.
Yes, he
is. And he just loves to come back and give back.
And that's just like one of the things that you have going on. And you mentioned real quick and casually the Battle of the Bands. Can you talk about how that happened? Because people love to see the battles of the bands. And then you say, wait a minute, Mr. Parrish had an idea. And then he said, Rodney, can you handle this?
Yeah, so what happened? What happened, man, Mr. Parrish went to a game, and he went to a Dallas ISD playoff game. I think Skyline was playing the team, and then he said he was listening to the bands. And he said, man, he said, Rod, how's the band world? And I said, well, let me call Mr. William Young. You know, that's my good friend. And he's like our band consultant, and he was the band director at Carter and Skyline and Cedar Hill. Now he's the assistant. He was assistant band director at Langston University. Now he's at Southern University. And I called him, and he said, Rod, the bands are struggling, man. You know, funding is down, and if we don't do something to try to help these bands, you know, you probably won't see these bands over the next 5 years just due to lack of funding. And so Mr. Parrish, you know, automatically he said, Rod, what I want to do is I want to give 10 bands $5,000 each, $50,000. And I wanted to go to their treasury. And I said, well, I know you want to do that, Mr. Parrish. I said, but let's take it to the next level. Let's go to the Texas Rangers new stadium and have a big battle of the bands.
Globe Life Field.
He said, well, if you can make it happen, you know, make it happen. And so I got on the phone and partnered with the Rangers on that, Rev Entertainment. Shout out to Josh and him over there, or Jared, I mean, over there at Rev Entertainment and Michael. And they made it happen, man. We got it done. And the first year, I think we did about 7,000 people. We were competing with the Cowboys playoff game, the same day, same time.
Same area.
Same area. We did that January 22 MLK weekend. And then we did it again in 2023. We had seven bands from Dallas. We had bands from Houston, bands from Louisiana.
Wow.
And each band received $5,000. And we were partnered with the radio station, K104, wow, the first year, 97.9 the second year. And, of course, Lady J hosted both years. And we did a college and career expo. So as soon as the families and the students, when we opened the doors, they ran right into all the colleges. Shout out to UTA, University of Texas Arlington, that partnered with us, University Crossroads, that helped us put that together. East Texas A&M, UNT Dallas, Luis Franco over there. So those colleges. And then we had Bank of America. We had Starbucks. They were hiring students on site. We had Raising Cane's hiring kids on site at the event both years. And then we also had seven HBCU band directors that were the judges for the Battle of the Bands, but also the day before, that Friday before the Battle of the Bands, we had an auditioning for seniors on site. So seniors across the Dallas-Fort Worth area could come to a high school, audition, and they would get scholarships on site. And between both years, I think it was about $4.6 million in scholarships.
Wow, that is amazing. And you're changing lives. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's about connecting and networking and changing lives. It's one thing that, you know, you're doing this thing and it's a lot of fun. It's doing this thing and it's nice and it's interesting. You meet a lot of interesting people, but you're actually changing lives with what you're doing, Rodney. That's why I got you on the show. And let's put some more fingerprints on some of the things you got going on. The African American Museum in Dallas, they have the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame. You've been doing stuff with Dr. Robinson for years. Can you talk about some of the things you've been doing with the African American Museum and the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame and the golf tournaments? Because you got a whole bunch of different charitable golf tournaments that you work with.
Yeah, you know, with the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame, man, when I was at East Texas A&M, I was first introduced to the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame through one of my mentors, Carlton Cooper, who's on the board of directors for the African American Museum for the Hall of Fame. And he would always tell me about it. And then the late Harvey Martin was inducted, because Harvey Martin played at Sauk and he played at East Texas State and then played for the Cowboys, former Super Bowl MVP, co-MVP. And that's how I first got introduced to it. And then once, you know, I met Mr. Parrish and he became my client. Mr. Parrish is the title sponsor for the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame luncheon. And I went to a meeting, and I think it was in 2018. And I know you was in it. And me, and I said, we should have, you know, something to honor Mr. Parrish due to his, you know, title sponsorship over the years, and call it the Roland G. Parrish Legends Award. And so we've been doing that since 2019. And then also working with, you know, for fundraising. So, you know, I was able to come in and help with the luncheon 2 years ago, and you know, raised probably about $51,000 just from my side of it, of getting sponsors coming to the table from the Gene and Jerry Jones Family Foundation, through the Cowboys, the Texas Rangers, C.J. Miles, Andrea Miles. C.J. Miles played at Skyline High School and
sure
went straight to the NBA.
Utah Jazz.
So he sponsored, yeah, and the Miles Law Group, his sister Andrea Miles, Smokey John's Barbecue, One, and Brent over there, they sponsored UTA. I brought Dallas ISD on board. And so that was my kind of like my contributions as well, as well as working with the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame for their golf tournament and just trying to help it to increase the dollars.
Exactly. And again, you've done these things so well, low key, just getting it done, and your reputation speaks for itself. If you had any advice for anybody who wanted to, like I said, make a difference, contribute, where would you, what would you say to like a young Rodney Baker?
That's a quote, man, I came up with in 2005 that says, to see the difference, you have to be the difference. And if you want to see a change in your life and your community and your family, then you first have to be that change agent to make it happen.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you, people, some that was close to me, you know, kind of said, man, nobody's going to do business with a company named Hot Rod Connects. And I said, that's what I want to call my company. Hot Rod is what people call me at school. Connects is authentic to me because of my relationships, my network, my resources. I said, so I'm calling my company Hot Rod Connects Resource and Resources LLC. So that's my company name. And every time I get in front of a new company, so like Cigna Healthcare, you know, they do stuff with me. They buy suites through me for major events, AT&T Stadium, AAC, Dickies Arena, Texas Trust. And I've been doing suites since like 2009. And so I work with a lot of major companies that when they first come in contact with me, they love the name. Oh, Hot Rod. And I have a tagline that says, I connect the dots. You know, and whatever is the assignment, we're gonna fulfill that gap, and we're gonna complete the assignment. And so I just would tell anybody, you know, if you have a dream, you have a vision, you have a goal of something that you want to do, and God gives it to you, it doesn't matter who tell you you can't do it or not. You still push through. You're gonna have some issues. You're gonna have some down times. You're gonna lose money. It's going to be some hard times, but if God gave it to you, I promise you, and you keep pushing and you keep digging. There was a man that was digging. He was digging for the gold. He kept digging, kept digging. Then he said, you know what? There's no gold there. Another man came right behind him, kept digging, digging, didn't find nothing. They left. Another guy was digging, 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 digging. And then he said, no, I'm done. And then this guy told him, man, just keep digging. You never know. You might strike it next. He started digging a little bit more, and guess what? Boom, he struck the gold.
Yeah.
So you got to keep digging. You got to stay down until you find the gold, and then you come up.
Exactly. You couldn't have said it better, and that's sound advice. Again, you just can never quit. And again, it's all about making differences in people's lives, and that's why we have you on this show. Is there something coming up, you know, going in the holidays here, you know, the holidays of Christmas around the corner and everything else? Is there anything in particular you want to let people know about? I know you've got there's a tax and business summit that you're a part of.
Yeah, my good friend, Rosie, she has her own tax software company that she does. And she has a tax business summit that's really helping, you know, the young entrepreneurs, because, you know, when you get into business, man, you don't know that, you know, you're a 1099.
Right.
And so, you know, you're not paying taxes on this money. So by the time the end of the year, you done made $100,000, $150,000, you think you're doing well, but not knowing you owe $16,000 and $20,000 in taxes. And so I want to support her and what she's doing. She supports me all the time in my suite. She was a sponsor at the golf tournament. Her company's called Thomas Financial. And her name is Rosie. So I want to support her and what she has coming up. And then on December the 6th, we'll be at with Andrea Miles and the Rue Witherspoon Law Group for their company event and the beneficiary organizations After Aid to Educate. And my wife works for them now. They work with the homeless kids in Dallas and Dallas ISD. And so they're going to be beneficiaries for that event on December the 6th. And then we have a big holiday party, Party with a Purpose with Williams Chicken, celebrating the owner, founder, president, Mr. Hawatha Williams. Mm-hmm. And then we have our 10th annual Change for Change community event with Williams Chicken. We'll be giving out 200 bikes, toys. So we're partnering. That's going to be December 21st at the Hawatha Williams Recreation Center. And so we're partnering with TXU Energy, Coca-Cola, the Parish Charitable Foundation, UTA, Domingo Garcia, Dr. Michael Hinojosa, Judge Vonda Bailey, Lauren the Lawyer. We got just a lot of different companies. Oh, Mark Cuban, Cost Plus Drug Company, is partnering with us on this, the Dallas Mavericks. And so Starbucks, shout out to Cherie Smith. So we're just excited about that. And then we have the Freedom Chevrolet by Ed Morse event on December the 14th with Brenda Mosby, Cal and Amanda, those people over there at Freedom Chevrolet, where they're going to be giving out 200 bikes and toys, and they're going to be giving away a free car to a family in need. So it's going to be the third year doing that event. It's called the third annual Teddy's Winter Wonderland that they're doing at the Freedom Chevrolet. That's right in the heart of Oak Cliff and the community.
Rodney, again, thanks for stopping down. You are a busy man, and we appreciate you. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.